Thank you, Mr. Judson. I appreciated the first message, and it tied in with this. I was surprised when I first read the information how sometimes we do get close to each other. I'm going to write a note of when I'm starting this. We should get out by at least 2 o'clock. I promise it won't take that long. Well, it's so good to see. It looks like we have a little fuller house today. And from my understanding, there's a lot of issues going on in the church. There's many people that are suffering various difficulties, family strife. There's people that are ill and suffering all sorts of things. And it's really difficult at times to stay focused on the meaning of God's holy days when we're so wrapped in things that are happening around us. I had a dream. We've heard that story before. On March 31st, and I woke up with a start, like, what was that all about? Apparently, somebody wanted me to speak in a congregation, and they gave me 1 hour, and I was already there, and I had no notes. I have notes. So everything's okay. We'll continue on. And one thing I would like to say, if you don't have notes, stay grounded in an understanding of the basic scriptures, which we heard a lot of earlier. As we come closer to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, there's so much to be concerned about. And we ought to not lose heart because of our struggles and our strife. We ought to remember our calling, our ways, and the truth of God. Consider this, what it says in Ephesians 4:23. And most of these I will have taken out of the English Standard Version. Ephesians 4:23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And likewise, what it says in Luke 18:1. That's Luke 18:1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. If you're having struggles, and each one of us have our struggles with family and health and so much more, don't lose heart. Right now in the world scene, the world certainly seems to be approaching the brink of disaster, and morals are basically, especially along religious lines, they're falling like never before, it seems. I know we've gone through cycles in my own lifetime, and there have been highs and there's been lows. And right now, it looks like we may be at a plateau, and yet the world scene, bad news keeps cropping up, and people are gnashing their teeth, and they're willing to fight, and they're allying with this group or that group. And many people will speak silk words. Words and silk. Yet, animosity and personal desire takes over so often. Too many people this day and age are turning from moral and religious foundations. Though never perfect, nations around the world are becoming more and more societies without God. And we've seen it. We've heard the discussions, both political and religious. And the warning throughout this message is, let us not buy into deceptions of this age. And this is something to seriously ponder, especially now that we're entering the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And let me flip to my next page here. The title of this message is The New Covenant and the Law. And the synopsis is, does the New Covenant override the laws of God? Some people say that it does. So many today are confused almost more than any other time in the history that I've known concerning the church, in my lifetime anyway. There seemed to be a little more soundness, even though we had struggles many years ago. There seems to be a lot more confusion today, and people jumping from one thing to another thing. And fewer and fewer people really are following God. Anyway, this is something to consider at the Passover and the Holy Day season. And remember this, though. Christ did not come to do away with the law. First point. Some claim, as in one major large congregation, a man essentially stated that the Sermon on the Mount of Christ negates the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine that? Christ said no to the Ten Commandments? I know you've read enough Scripture to know that that is not in Scripture. How could anyone say the Ten Commandments no longer apply? Well, that's been done throughout history because people talk about grace and that there's nothing you can do. But that's not true. There's things that we have to do, things that we must do. Let's consider this out of 2 Corinthians 11:14. Again, English Standard Version. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. If your best friend told you, this is the way, walk you in it, and he was not leading you in the direction of what the Bible says, maybe he should not be your best friend. Or maybe you should have a little discussion about theology that gives life. And it continues on. And then I stated here, there's so many that use smooth talk and sly words to confuse and mislead. How often do we hear that? I've heard that since the day I started coming into the church. In fact, maybe 6 years prior. And it was so difficult to get over the hurdles of what I was because there were so few people that you could talk to. Here you have a lot of people that you could commiserate with and discuss matters with. Let's read this out of Romans 11. Romans 11, 19 to 21. Romans 11, 19 to 21. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. And verse 20, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. Remember, there is a proper type of fear. When I was young, I was told, don't do that. If I did it, I suffered the consequences. And we know what consequences are. If the light says red, and you say, no, I'm going, you will suffer the consequences. It could be as bad as just getting a ticket, or it could be bad enough to lose your life. So there are times that things will say no. And we have to remember that. Let's face it, so many today have forgotten the way. And we read things like this in Isaiah 30, verse 10. Isaiah 30, verse 10. Who says to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. I remember years ago, there was a minister who said, I think it was like in January or February, he said, in June, Christ will return. June came along, Christ did not return. And I think I've told this story before. And then he had a reawakening. And in November of that year, he said, Christ will return in January of the following year. It never happened. The man committed suicide. Let's continue in Romans 11, now verse 20. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. We must be careful about the choices and the decisions we make. We must be especially careful about not choosing that wrong path. Let's face it, so many people today have forgotten the way. We read this elsewhere, and we hear strange things these days, such as a warning in Romans 16:18. For such people do not serve our Lord, but their own appetites and smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the hearts of the naive. Hopefully, we are not so naive that we could be easily deceived. That's why it is so we must always stress it is so important to be rooted in the foundation that we see in the Scripture. Mankind's heart is deceitful above all things. And we could read this in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? God understands our weaknesses. And when we repent and we seek God, he will be there for us to strengthen us through difficulty and adversity. For us, the times may well be more dangerous and tenuous than it was in the 1960s, in the early 1960s when I was in the Army. Most did not know it, but the crises of that time could have led to nuclear war. And there were a lot of nuclear weapons and a lot of rockets that could launch. But it did not happen. Over time, many departed from and will depart from sound teaching. We were a relatively large organization, but over time, we dropped down to probably less than 10%. And the times are not better. Things may seem more subtle. Strife in the world may settle down just a wee bit, and we think, a breathing spell. Don't bet it. Don't bet your life on it. We are in the latter days. And we are sometimes in the calm of a storm. So be especially vigilant in these times of travail and troubles of man. Are we preparing our minds and hearts for trials yet to come? At this time, I see so many sore trials like never before. Maybe it's my age, and I see so many more sick people. And I know I've had my own little struggles. And there's constant barbs going on, and people's families strife and everything. And it's just tearing the fiber of the American family apart. So what do we do in troubled times? We never forget that there are false prophets and supposed angels of light that cause misdirection and confusion. And we need to be ever vigilant. And I could repeat this over and over again for emphasis. If we turn our backs on anything, let it be to the bad things, the evil things, the wicked things, whatsoever of those things beset and confront us. Point two, we must study to show ourselves approved. Let's read this in 2 Timothy 2:15-18. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. In verse 16 of 2 Timothy 2, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. We've seen that happen. And we shake our heads and said, how could he or she have done that? Among them, in verse 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. That's pretty serious stuff to have go on in your body. I know there are nurses in here, and we all have associations with doctors, and some of us may have had gangrene, and it was pretty serious stuff. I had a foster brother, and he had diabetes. Eventually, he lost a big toe. He went blind because of it. But then the big toe got infected. He died several years later. So we need to be careful. And verse 18 says, who have swerved or strayed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened? They are upsetting the faith of some. How often have we heard things like this? Or people will die. As I recall, I was asking a family member about a grandmother. Oh, she's in heaven now. No, she's not. Where does it say that? No man or woman has ascended yet to heaven. And some in this day and age have also gone so far as to claim that Jesus Christ is not God. Be careful. Search out the truth of the matter. Search your scriptures. Read John 1. That's a good starting ground for that. Beware, for when we say that we are strong, that is a stepping stone of collapsing into the society's moral decay. If only more people would recognize that they fall short of that glory of God, there may be more hope for the future. But too many are turning against things of God. Too many are turning against Christianity in what used to be nominally a Christian nation. That could be a chink in our spiritual armor. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? Other places it uses the word sin. What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. So who could say that all you have to do is listen or read only the Sermon on the Mount and forget the scriptures that say sin is the transgression of the law and all the times the commandments are mentioned in scripture? In Matthew 24:12, English Standard Version again, Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness, and the King James Version uses iniquity, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will wax cold or grow cold. Don't we see that? The hatred and the venom. All you have to do is just drive down the Bell Road or something, and you see the people whizzing in and out carelessly. And if you do something right, they may curse you. I had to put a little sticker in my car, and it said, "Joe, smile." And I tell you what, every time I get riled about some driver doing something foolish, texting and driving or singing in the car or hands off the wheels, I have to remind myself, don't get angry. Smile and look ahead. Don't make that eye contact. We all absolutely need to stand fast in the faith. Let's turn and read something in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, or some editions will say latter times. I kind of like the word ladder, but that's not a ladder that you climb. That means in the future. Latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. And verse 2, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Liars. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of the commandments. Re-examine your life and say, does this bear up to the commandments that I read? Are we not in the days where we see society more and more tenuous in what it's doing? Let us be wary of straying from the truth of God because of the flaws of others. It is so easy to lose sight because somebody angered me and then to strike out and anger myself. This time's just to walk away. Obviously, if somebody has a gun to you, duck, call for help. What are you going to do? Times are dangerous. Stay out of the bad parts of town. But when you go out in the mornings, pray, God be with me. God guide my path this day, for these are dangerous times. So beware of the flaws of others, the debauchery of society, and the weakness of self. We need to stand strong in the face of adversity, animosity, and confusion. Remember what it said elsewhere, and I don't have the scripture here. Remember this, the natural mind is hostile towards God. I once met this wonderful little old lady in the early days before I was even baptized, and I asked her, have you ever sinned? Because I didn't fully comprehend what sin was. And she looked at me and honestly said, no, I have never sinned. Have you ever met somebody that way? In Scripture, you may have seen one. Even the greatest among men, Moses, the Apostle Paul, they all had their shortcomings. Let's look a little deeper in 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 6. 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 6. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, what are those sound words? It's in that book that's in your lap. It might be in your little electronic media. If it deviates from the scripture, be wary. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accord with godliness. In verse 4 of 1 Timothy 6, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. In verse 5, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Have you ever gotten those phone calls? Oh, we have a deal for you if you only do such and such. Hang up. Click. Don't do it. Then grasp this, what it says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now comes point 3. There is life in the words of this book, the one in your lap, or the electronic media that you have. There are books of the Bible listed throughout Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testaments. But be reminded that the New Testament was not and could not have been codified till nearly 90 A.D. or later. Perhaps 96 A.D., some will say, when the book of Revelation was finally written. Let's look at these words pertaining to the law of God. And there's lots of other scriptures. We don't have time to go into all of them. Joshua 24:25. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. Joshua 24:26. I'm going to repeat that. And Joshua wrote these books in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Let's also look at this example in Nehemiah 8:8. Nehemiah 8:8. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Furthermore, we could also skip to Nehemiah 8:18. That's Nehemiah 8:18. And day by day, from first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Of course, this is referring to the fall festival season. So how can a person claim to be a Christian and throw away 90% of the Bible and only think one needs to use just the Sermon on the Mount? The Sermon on the Mount is good, but throw out the Old Testament, throw out the Ten Commandments. Shameful for anyone to say that is what we do. It opens up a Pandora's box that is so bad, because now people think, oh, we could steal, we could hurt people's feelings, we could kill, and we still make it to heaven. It won't happen. Observing the law will give you happiness and make things more harmonious in your life and easier to bear the struggles. Remember what it says here in Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. They're not done away. They're with us. Despite many people not wanting to post the Ten Commandments in state capitals and whatever, or not wanting to say anything having to do with godly things in the vast majority of schools this day and age. We have drifted so much over the last 60 years. We have become dull to what is happening in the nation of today. Note, there are important things, and remember these things, that do not cancel out the Ten Commandments. Mark 12:30-32. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. The second commandment that is elicited here, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That doesn't do away with the other eight. And in verse 32, the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. Those two commandments encompass the love of God, the respect for neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you don't steal from him. If you have things stolen from you, does your neighbor love you? No. Let us read something from Romans 8:1-3. Romans 8:1-3. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. From what? Are you free? It's not from the Ten Commandments, but from the law that if you consider sinning, death could be the result. For in verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin condemns. The law doesn't. Sin condemns. Sin is the transgression or breaking of the law, as it says elsewhere in Scripture. We need to show ourselves approved. Now, this is the crux. In Luke 18:18-20, and a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life? In verse 19, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. In verse 20, you know the commandments. Now get this. Nothing about the Sermon on the Mount here. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. So, then we read this in 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. How is your Bible study? We're going to draw this to conclusion, but first, one of the ushers he's got 11 booklets, and I'm sorry, we don't have more. You could talk to the people in the library. They could order more. We have 11 booklets. The New Covenant booklet. There are 11, and just ask at the library. There's also a couple of articles there, and I didn't print out enough, but there are articles about the new covenant, and the law. Interestingly, that article was just written 3 days ago. Wow. It came in handy for this. And if the ushers, if you raise your hand, anybody that needs a booklet, raise your hand. Everybody, I assume maybe everybody has one, raise your hand. And he will pass out what he has, and my apologies for not having more. I see hands. Raise those hands high. He is short like me, and he can't see as well. And I'm higher. I can barely see. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see as far. Remember, in the beginning, I stated, don't buy into the deception of this age. Did Christ really come to do away with the law? Is there any doubt about the new covenant? Remember this, it does not abolish the law of God, nor all of the Old Testament and the broad swaths of the New Testament that actually do mention. And there's dozens of places in the New Testament that talk about keeping the commandments. More and more, we're seeing horrifying things on the horizon in mankind's current history. Could we be approaching another huge, monstrous war with the latest in technology? Right now, it just seems like there's a little bit of peace, and Satan is being restrained. The time will come when many people will look to each of us as an example. If not in this age, in the age to come. We have a higher calling and a great responsibility. Whatever we do, let us not forsake that high calling, especially as we see the moral codes diminishing. My hope is that each of us can tear down walls of anxiety and frustration with people around us who need our help. We need to help heal the wounds of history. Never forget before starting the day to ask yourself this question: what can I do to heal any breach in a relationship, whether with a man or a woman? As we come to the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, go in humility, yet have vigor to obey God. And the final reference I have is Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you and me to repentance? This is a reaffirmation. This season is a reaffirmation of God's mercy. And this is why we renew our covenant with God on the Passover from year to year. My final statement: God be with you, dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Stand strong and stay the course.